The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And it took quite a while of me just saying, Lord, are you going to do anything with this? Because I'm not going to be able to heal this with, you know, motivational tapes and, you know, a series of nice conversations with people. Those things can be helpful. But what I need is a supernatural healing straight from heaven. And only you can bring me that. And he did. The thing is, he did.
Yeah.
Next on Life Today, Priscilla Shirer shares her personal struggles with doubt and how God has proven to be able.
So glad to see you. You know, I sit here with Betty sometimes and say, don't you go ahead and help me. Sorry, you do it. So then we're still sitting here trying to decide who's, hello, I'm James Robinson. This is Betty. We welcome you to Life Today. I do continually try and encourage you to speak up.
You do. You do so well. I'll interrupt if I need to.
Oh, thank you. We have Priscilla Shirer with us, and she's written a book called God is Able. Now, she's written several best-selling books that should be bestsellers, and best read, most read, because they're just great. She is a gifted writer and communicator teacher. In this book, however, she indicates that as a Christian and as a person who's gifted, you still have some battles, even if you live in a strong Christian home and got a great dad who can really preach and a wonderful mother. She says, 15 years ago, I'm reading this from the book, page 3. She just cuts to the chase. 15 years ago, I didn't believe God could heal my broken heart. 12 years ago, I wasn't sure He could heal my marriage, save my marriage. 10 years ago, I wondered if I'd be able to safely bear a child. 8 years ago, I questioned if He could ease the heavy cloak of guilt and regret. 5 years ago, I only had a thin shred of hope that He could salvage a cherished friendship. 2 years ago, I doubted He could free me from paralyzing fear and anxiety. And even as recently as last year, I seriously questioned if I was suited for the ministry God had entrusted to me. Can you believe it? Well, let's ask her about it. Would you welcome Priscilla Shirer to Life Today? You know, we've been real honest about, you know, we've been transparent. You know, it's usually my sins and my problems we talk about, right? I mean, you know, you're good. You're willing on that end, right?
I've got a few.
not like me. But the point is that we've been willing to say, you know, we've crashed and would have burned if it hadn't been for the grace and love of God, prayers of people like you. And Priscilla's blessed, but I think maybe we were a little bit surprised to hear you sharing some of those things. You want to tell us about it since you wrote a whole book about it?
Well, I thought it was important right there at the onset to make sure that folks knew that I wasn't writing a book about the ability of God because I'd studied it in a seminary class, that I was writing the book because I have experienced the ability of God in my own life, that there is nothing like seeing Him for yourself. And you can hear about it in church till you're blue in the face and wave your hand about it and tell other people about it and even believe it for other people. Mm-hmm. But I found that there was a disconnect in my life where I celebrated the testimonies of what God had done for others. But at the exact same time, there were some things I wasn't even praying about because I was too nervous about putting it out there just in case God chose in His sovereignty not to answer it the way I had requested. Mm. Does that mean that He doesn't love me, that He doesn't care about this little detail of my life? Am I going to be able to see the ability of God in my experience like I see that other people have? And so I just noticed that disconnect in my life, and God led me to Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything you can ask. And if you can't even ask it because your brain can't even come up with the right words to verbalize what you're asking, if you can just think it, He can do past that.
Wow.
And that verse began to revolutionize my life, shaking me awake from a spiritual slumber and helping me to really trust God with the stuff of my life.
You know what I'm hearing as a 70-year-old man with a 50-year journey in ministry? What I'm hearing coming straight out of your mouth when you just opened up is what really needs to happen with everyone watching right now. Please hear me. I heard a mother, a wife, a child of a pastor. I heard a girl bearing her soul openly, but knowing that God is hearing every thought, every expression. In other words, she's opening up. She's getting honest about what's going on in her life. And I feel like so many church people, they really look like, they look like walking skeletons. They've just closed themselves off from reality. Yeah. Or they put on a facade that's so phony, really. If it makes God want to barf, I got to be honest, it makes me want to barf. You know, he says, you make me sick. I look at people living this way. It's a horrible way to live. This woman is saying to you in the first few minutes that she opened her mouth, what needs to be coming out of every one of you, I'm in a mess. God, I mean, I'm getting honest with you, God. Hey, how about let's get honest with God? Yeah. That's what I heard you do.
Absolutely.
And I hear you encouraging others to do it by acknowledging the fact you did it and you're already excited about someone able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything you ever dreamed.
And I think that sometimes the miracles that God intends, fully intends to perform in our lives, it is waiting upon, in a sense, the hinge is whether or not we're going to be authentic about our need for Him. Mm-hmm. Our unwillingness to just open up and be real and genuine and authentic, maybe not with everybody else, but just with Him, who He knows anyway. And when we come to Him and say, God, look, I actually need you, man, that opens up the floodgates of God's activity in our life. And I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. I was about to say I don't know about you, but I know about y'all. Y'all are like me in that. You don't just want to hear about Him in other people's lives. I mean, I want to see Him. If He's moving, I want to know where He's moving. If He's going to speak, I want my spiritual ears to be able to hear. And just to your point, I was thinking about Mary in the story of the changing water into wine, John chapter 2. And Mary, it's not her wedding. She's not hosting the wedding. She must have been just enlisted by the hosts of the wedding to come and join them in the preparations. And Jesus is going to turn this water into wine. It would have been a total embarrassment for the host family to come out from behind closed doors and say, we're actually out of what you guys came for. Well, thank God for Mary, because Mary is the only one in the story. She's not even the host. She's the only one in the story that's willing to come out from behind those walls and say, you know what, Jesus, we've got a problem. And as soon as she enlisted Jesus, was willing to be open and authentic with the issue that they were having, all of a sudden they had more than they could even share with all the guests, and it was the best that they had ever tasted before. What hinges on our authenticity? On us just coming out and saying, you know what, I'm out. I'm out of time. I'm out of patience. I'm out of energy. I'm out of ideas. I'm out of creativity. All the stuff I thought I would need to be successful. I admit to you, God, I'm out. And I think sometimes He's just waiting on that admission.
Oh, I believe it. You said you had a broken heart. I'm curious about that. I mean, why would you think He wouldn't heed it, or what was going on? Do you mind telling us a little bit?
Well, I you know what? It always kind of has to do with a guy, doesn't it? I dated this guy. Before I was married, I dated a young man, incredible guy. It was not him. The timing was not right. We were not the right people for each other. But we dated a long time, probably gave too much too soon to each other, too many promises, had crossed the line. And when he decided he did not want to be in a relationship with me, that I was not the person for him, and he walked away from me, there was a devastation in my heart that I honestly questioned whether or not I could get past so that I could find happiness in the life that God actually had for me. You know, I don't know if you've ever experienced this before where you're begging God to bring someone back to you or to bring a situation or a circumstance back to you that in hindsight, 20 years later, you look back and you go, God, I am so glad for unanswered prayers. You know, because if God had given me half the stuff I begged Him for,
I'd
be in a world of trouble right now. So I'm grateful more than anything for unanswered prayers. And I don't just mean in that area, in other areas where you're begging for God to give you something that He knows is not right for you. And in that situation,
no is actually not a bad answer.
No.
It's sometimes the greatest answer you'll ever get.
Yes, absolutely. Because God knows best. He is sovereign.
Prayers is not manipulating God. I mean, prayer is pouring your heart out to God, making your requests known to God, interceding for others, but part of prayer is He's communicating back to you. And sometimes you won't hear it in a still, small voice, so you're going to get to watch it play out. Mm-hmm. But it's still God. Mm-hmm. He was, in His way, answering prayer.
He was totally answering
prayer. To Him be the glory.
Yes, that's right. And so my heart was broken, and it took quite a while of me just saying, Lord, are you going to do anything with this? Because I'm not going to be able to heal this with, you know, motivational tapes and, you know, a series of nice conversations with people. Those things can be helpful. But what I need is a supernatural healing straight from heaven. And only you can bring me that. And he did. The thing is, he did.
Yeah. And he will,
changed
yeah.
a circumstance in my, you know, that no one may have even noticed. I think we walk around sometimes, people don't know. They see the outside, they don't know about the broken heart
and
on
that,
the inside.
A lot of that is because we put expectations on ourselves.
We do.
And we allow others to put them on us. So we're supposed to have this neat little life in a box, you know, and we've got it all worked out. Mm-hmm. Whereas there's still things that God's working in us and through us. And we need not be ashamed of that we're in a work in progress.
Absolutely.
You know? I want you to tell us what you hope because you really do touch a lot of areas of sensitivity. And you've talked about, you know, really wondering about how you would overcome fear and anxiety. And Betty had such a battle with fear, she could never believe she'd be sitting here like this and sharing her heart. And you really wondered about, is God going to really use my ministry? What's going on inside? And what has God shown you that you want our viewers and readers to grasp?
Really just the crux of that, those two scriptures, those two simple Bible verses that are packed with more power than you can ever imagine, that he really does do exceedingly abundantly beyond, which means he doesn't just do what you ask. He does beyond what you can even ask or imagine, which means that we sell ourselves short if we want him to answer our requests directly the way we verbalized it, because our brains can't even come up with the right terminology that even touches the fringe of his ability in our life. So if he answers our request exactly the same way we've prayed it, because see, we can get mad and upset and disappointed and frustrated with God because he doesn't answer our stuff the way we want it answered. Mm-hmm. But if we did, we'd actually be limiting our experience of the great beauty of all that God has prepared for us. And so what this study of Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 has done for me has caused me not to just trust God more with actually coming to him and praying out loud the things that I desire, not holding back in fear or trepidation that what is important to me is not also important to God. But it has also caused me to have a quiet confidence that when God says no, when he says wait, or when he answers the request in a completely different way, that I can just sit back, rest easy, and know that God's got my back. And if this is the answer that he's chosen, that means that this is the best possible conclusion.
I feel like you're really trying to say to people, go ahead and ask God, but then trust God.
That's
trust
exactly
him with the
right
outcome, because he's exceedingly able to do exceedingly abundant and beyond anything you ever hoped for, perhaps in a different way than you ever imagined. Be at rest and at peace. I see peace in your countenance right now. Oh. Am I reading that right?
It's sad. I hope so.
Well, you know what's inside.
Well, I hope that when people see me, they do see and sense just the spirit of rest upon his people.
I see that.
You know, just a quiet confidence, just that God's got it, that Psalm 46 is true. Psalm 46, 10.
Can I have a noisy confidence? Because I'm kind of noisy.
You can have a noisy confidence.
But you've got that peace. I see it.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord, because he's taken me through a lot. There have been some journeys in our lives that you know, my life and your life and anyone who's watching, we're all on a journey. But every time we intersect and encounter God at different points in our journey, I mean, where he does something and you know it was God, you know that it wasn't your accountant that pulled that off or your success or the degrees on your wall, you know that God himself marched into your circumstance and pulled that thing off. Every time that happens, that builds your confidence level for the next time. So you have a track record with God, because when you have enough of a track record with God, and I mean, I literally write it down.
Sure.
When God speaks to me and I know it's God speaking to me, or something happens that is an unusual thing that I know it's not just a coincidence, God's fingerprints are on it, I write it down. And when I'm shaken because of the stuff of my life, I open up that file on my computer. It's called He Speaks to Me. Mm-hmm. And I read the ledger, the evidence of what God has done in my life.
Oh, I wish the world would hear what she just said. I wish the church world would hear it. I mean, I want to reemphasize it. Now, get this. And I mean, you get it straight. She is talking about a God, a father, a shepherd that converses with his family, and the sheep know his voice. But now, how do they know the voice? Because they have gotten to know his nature through his word. Mm-hmm. You're not going to know this voice he's talking about if you're a stranger to the Word. You're going to hear so many voices at you, you're going to be spooky, and you're going to be listening to spooks. I mean, you're going to be freaky, scary, not at peace. You must know the Word of God. This woman's full of the Word of God. It came from her home, her family, and she pours into it. But she is fellowshipping with God. It's really important people hear this, because a lot of people think the only way you're going to hear God is just read the Bible. The God that wrote this book wants to fellowship with us.
Absolutely.
You thrilled my soul when you're saying, I'm writing what he's saying to me. It's always consistent with what's in the Word.
Absolutely.
But it's his voice communicating with you.
Yes.
And I hear you saying to everybody listening, you can know a God that's able intimately and personally like that. Am I right?
You can know him intimately and personally. In fact, he wants to be known that way. That's the only way to really know him is personally.
Now, if people wanted you to come and share, and as we were praying before we came out here, I said, guard your schedule, right? Did I say it?
Yes, you did.
Guard your time, because people will keep you too busy for God and even God's will. But if people wanted to inquire about where you're going to be, where you're going to speak, or if there was any miraculous possibility that you might ever come to their area, where would they access to find out? Where
well,
would they go?
Our ministry is Going Beyond Ministry. So if you go to goingbeyond.com, that's where you find us, and hopefully encouraging things that can help you in your walk with the Lord as well.
Anywhere she is, listen, you know what I really long to see happen? If you find out someone is going somewhere to be at a church, ask the pastor, can you participate? Look, get this business of church competition. Put it into it. We're family. We're not competing with one another. We're magnifying the Lord together. So find ways that you can participate. And if you can find ways that maybe someone in your church would hook up some kind of simulcast connection. She's teaching one place. You say, look, we want you in our city, and we want you to have time for your family. We're going to hook up simulcast. Could we put it into our church? In other words, be creative to take people who are a gift from God and not just spend them out where they don't even have time for God or their family. Are you hearing me? That happened to me. It nearly destroyed my life. Not their fault. I lacked the wisdom to do what I needed to do. I'm suggesting to you that we learn to work together. Would you say thanks to God and thanks to Priscilla for being such an available gift and being honest about her own journey, her own challenges, and I can promise you, you're going to be blessed. Priscilla, it has been one of the great joys of my life to watch you glow and watch you grow. And as you glow in Christ even more. We love you deeply, do anything for you. And we praise God for the opportunity of being together and magnifying the Lord.
Amen.
Let me show you something, Priscilla, and all of our viewers that I know will touch your heart. I want to show you some people on the other side of the world. They're totally trapped. They're prisoners. You can set them free. Yes, you can. Through the love of God expressed through you. Watch.
Captivity takes many forms. Not all prisoners look as you'd expect. But you are, without question, looking at the captive, the imprisoned. They are controlled, preyed upon, and abused in this ever-growing industry. In some areas, human trafficking is boldly pushing its way into the open. In other places, it's driving deeper underground. But at the center of each, are girls who are crying out, and we hear them.
I'm standing in front of a place where there was constant cruelty and abuse of young girls. And 10 girls who had been enslaved for several years, many of them underage, were rescued right here on the other side of this gate. They'd been in lockdown where they never got to leave this place. But this team came in with a plan, and the men who had been holding those girls captive were caught, and those girls were set free. And then our team surrounded those girls, loved on them, helped them heal from the brokenness of being enslaved. God wants to do this again, and He wants to do it in many places. And there are many places that need our help. I believe we can do it. I believe we can do it together. And we can do what Jesus said together. Heal brokenhearted girls. Set captives free.
If you, you know, I really wish that you'd just let us see those, where they're wiping the tears again for a moment. Do you remember the verse about heaven? God will wipe away all the tears. That's got to be as godlike an act as can be expressed. It's heaven. We've had some tears in ways we never thought we would have them when we lost a daughter. We never dreamed that we could hurt so bad, and God wiped away those tears. And I thought, boy, if that's what God does. And I was looking at them, and as I was watching them wipe the tears, I wanted to be there. I really did. I found myself wishing, Betty, that I was just right there and I could wipe the tears away. I wanted to put my arms around them and hold them for the right reason, not to use them or take advantage of them, but to hold them and to wipe away the tears. Now listen to me, I'm not exaggerating. I mean, this is as straightforward, it's as honest as it's possible to be. No exaggeration. You can, in the truest sense of the word, wipe away their tears. Yes, you can. You can heal their broken hearts. You can release the healing streams of God's love, not in word only, but in deed. The missionaries are there. You saw Jeannie reference those pictures of all those girls. Those were with our missionaries. Those are girls that have been rescued and are being restored and trained in how they can go out and have a future and make a living without being used like a slave. Many of them from the time they were a little child. This is one of the most exciting things that our viewers, as well as the missionaries, you the viewers, have ever led us to do. The missionaries not only showed us the problem, they showed us the solution. They said, would you help us rescue them, restore them, give them a future? But we need to build a safe house in Cambodia. It's one of the places where we're finding the greatest need and the most effective outreach, but we need a safe house. Would you help us build that? It's $345,000. Doing it here in the States would cost a couple of million dollars. We can do it there for that. I wish 345 people right now would say, I tell you what, I'll be one of them, give $1,000, we'll get it. Would you be one of 345 who would do that? Maybe you could give several thousand. I don't know what you can do, but do what God puts on your heart. But to rescue one of those children or one of those women, it takes an average, the missionaries tell us, and they know what they're talking about, it takes an average of $128. We've got some friends who said, we love this outreach so much, we want to wipe away the tears. That's what they're saying. We'll match what you give. You give $128, one person, no, you just rescued two. You give $64, we've got $128. Whatever you can do to help us rescue them, it'll be doubled because of the love of God in some of our friends expressed toward those who desperately need our help. We have some gifts to send you, a wonderful study Bible, a beautiful book that is filled with the promises of God, and then a glass sculpture called The Blessing for those of you that will help us build that safe house. Would you go to the phone right now? Please take your bank card. Go on, do it. Don't just say, oh, I'll do it sometime. Do it now. I'll be asking later, did our friends call? I pray you'll be one that did. Use your bank card, make the largest gift you can, use it like a check. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it. You can go online, lifetoday.org, many people do that, and make the gift God put on your heart. Thank you so much for doing it. Thank you for not delaying. Thank you for wiping away those tears.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And now, a miracle opportunity of a matching grant means your gift of $128 to help rescue a child will be matched to help rescue two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help rescue one child from the horrors of human trafficking. This year, with your help, we also hope to build a safe house in Cambodia where young rescued girls can find safety, loving care, and direction for a new life. The cost of this safe house is $345,000. With your gift, please request My Daily Gift, a beautiful new devotional describing the great love of God who treasures you more than you can imagine. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you'll receive the Side-by-Side Bible, which includes the easy-to-read New International Version and the Amplified Text with its additional words and insights. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 to help establish the safe house in Cambodia. And you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Human trafficking is a sin against humanity. We want to actually stop it before it starts by reaching out, going into the villages, educating the people there. But we're going to also rescue girls that have been trapped in the darkness, that are desperate to come out. But you don't just rescue, because we want to restore these girls. We want to give them job opportunity. We want to make them whole again through the love of Jesus Christ. Can't do it without you. We can't do it without your commitment. We can't do it without your prayers. But we also need you to go to the phone, go online, and be generous, because we know that you want to be part of rescuing life.
I just find myself wanting to say thanks, but I also want you to know that if you would like to have the book, God is Able, because God is able, and this woman is truly anointed. That means she's endowed and enabled by God to reveal truth and inspire us. You help us help these precious women wipe away those tears, and you want this book. It's in the bookstores. You can go online and get it. But you help us help them, and we'll send you one if you'd like to have it, just to say thank you for helping wipe away tears. Join Betty and me in saying thanks to Priscilla again for being with us. Priscilla, we love you so very, very, very much. Thank y'all.
When planning your future, keep their future in mind. Contact Life Planning Services today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.